Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Though you may not drive a great big Cadillac, against the white walls, TV ain't television in the back. You may not have a car at all, but remember, brothers and sisters.
All right, welcome back to News and Talk 1380 WALK, the voice of the community. 404-892-2703. Adjust those for them over there. 404-892-2703 gets you inside the conversation. We've been talking a lot about voting. October 11th, the cutoff date for voter registration. October 17th, I believe, starts early voting throughout Georgia. Pull it close to them. Get it? There you go. We'll get the microphone again. And we've been telling you we're headed to Sparta. Why Sparta? Hancock County, South Georgia. I tell people, you know, if you live inside Atlanta, if you go 20 minutes in either direction, north, south, east, and west, Georgia is a very different place. We are all over the state. That's the one thing I can tell you. Black people have permeated every part of Georgia. Ain't a place I done been to Meadow, Georgia. I done been to some of the little Georgia town you ain't never heard of. We are in power positions in a lot of these places. And some folk don't like that. And so we've been telling you about what's been going on a little bit about Sparta. It has been written up in the, national magazines and been talked about. But today we have with us Helen Butler from the Georgia Coalition for the People's Agenda. Helen, how are you?
I'm doing great, Derek. How are you?
It is good to see you. I know you said that. I'd be glad when you hear election. We register people everywhere. Let's just get to the voting part.
That's right. We want everybody to vote all the way down the ballot.
All the way down the ballot. We're going to be talking about that. But really, we're going to talk about Sparta today because I started reading the stories like months ago. And I said to Helen, this just don't sound, something about this disturbs me. It just didn't sit well in my spirit. So, we start bouncing around, said, we need to go to Sparta. I said, I need to just go down there and meet the folks from down to Sparta. And went down to church and sitting over in the deacon's seat, over by the deacon board, was Mayor William Evans, Jr. Mayor Evans, how are you?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you today?
Good, good, good. We had the mayor of Sparta, Georgia, down up here in Atlanta to talk about. And here's an opportunity. I want you all to hit me at db1380@gmail.com because we have some seats to go down to volunteer to register people votes. And when we get through talking to the mayor and to Helen today, you'll understand why this is so critically important. But when I started talking to Helen, she said, look, I'm already down there. And I talked to Richard Rose, who said, look, I've been down there a long time organizing with Brother McGowan and others. And so, Helen, tell us a little bit about, I just want you to lay, because when I read about this, I really started reading what was real voter suppression tactics.
Yes.
And what I was reading was that startled me was that down in Sparta, Georgia, Hancock County, they were literally sending sheriff department kind of door to door asking people, do you really live here? Give me proof that you live here. And we did find out the Secretary of State was sending, I didn't even know Secretary of State had investigators with a badge and a gun and asking people, do you really live here? And did you vote from this house? They actually had put people off the voter roll down there, and the People's Agenda was able to assist a lot of these people. But even reading the story as if that was bad enough, it just reminded me that this is like 1950-something. These are the
it
kind
is.
Of tactics we say. Give us the later foundation, and then we want the mayor to tell us the climate in Sparta, Georgia, which is only about an hour, 45 minutes, rather 2 hours drive from Atlanta. Tell us what you saw when you went down to Sparta.
Well, when I went down to Sparta, basically I saw this community that was really engaged, because you know Sparta has the highest turnout rate of any county in the state of Georgia. Mm-hmm. Their participation rate is just off the chain. We wish everybody in the state would have the same participation rate in terms of voting. But they had a person there who was working in concert with some of their board of election members to challenge the residency requirement of the voters there. So, in other words, the person just felt like these people didn't live where they were. So what they did was file this challenge. And the board of election people, when you file a challenge, it has to be in writing. It's supposed to tell the reason for that. And then the voter that is being challenged has an opportunity to come to a hearing to dispute whatever the challenge was. But, of course, the Board of Election people, in order to really send out the notice, they normally send out the notice. And what they did, they had the sheriff deliver the notices instead of doing it by mail or what have you, as most people do. Mm-hmm. But they decided to have the sheriff down there deliver to the voters these challenges. And, of course, as I said, it was people challenging them, but giving no reasons, really. Just, I don't believe they live here.
Right.
I went by their house and nobody answered. It looks like it's boarded up. It looks like nobody lives there. It's got grass. It's not mowed. Just depends on what day you come to my house. My grass may not be mowed.
Certainly.
So it was those kinds of things that were going on there. And it really started first with precinct consolidation. They wanted to first reduce the precincts down from 7 down to 1.
Go from 7 precincts where people voting all across the county.
And
Hancock County is no little small area, Mr. Mayor. It's several miles long, wide, and it is a traditional rural Georgia town where you could not live next to somebody for several blocks.
Miles, you're absolutely correct. In fact, land mass-wise, Hancock County is probably among the 8th and 9th largest counties in the state of Georgia.
Yeah.
So it's a burden. You could live on the opposite end from east
and
to west,
want
and
you
it may
to
be
drive.
20 miles away.
Yeah, there you go.
Hold
it right there. We got to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about what happened. Who were they challenging? I want you to tell who was they challenging. Then, Ms. Mayor, why don't you tell us about your town, where you live, where your roots are, where your family is. Give us a demographics, a snapshot of what Sparta is. Then we're going to talk about why I'm getting up early, getting up real early and getting on this bus. And young people, if you want to learn about democracy, this is going to be a rolling classroom there and back. We're going to have a rally. We're going to get off the bus, and then we're going door to door in Hancock County and talk to as many people as we can and re-register as many people as we can. 448-922-7703. If you got questions, call us up. We'll be back. It's News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
This is Gilbert Young, and you are listening to Too Much Truth with Derek Bozeman on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Too much truth.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead.
All right, welcome back to News and Talk 1380 WAOK. We call it We're Not Going Back, a rally and voter registration drive, and I want you to join me. I'm going to be in Sparta again on this coming Saturday. Laying all other business aside, we want you to get on the bus, and we want you to come and help us register our people. We are going to the courthouse step, and then we're going from there to the community And we want to assure people you have nothing to be afraid of, just like Harriet Tubman went, just like Fannie Lou Hamer. We're going into the deep south with our friends and our family down there. I went down to church down there. What was the church again?
Macedonia.
Macedonia Baptist Church. A lot of history. When you walk into the history, you see this beautiful church. But you also see the church when it was blown down in 1921, I believe it was. A lot of history. And then only to find out the preacher there is, what's the preacher, pastor's name?
Sneed.
Pastor Sneed and my attorney, best bosom buddies. And so while I was in church, I was texting Attorney Antavius Williams, who has agreed to serve as the, to do whatever we need to do legally. We call him the lawyer's counsel for Sparta. He said, look, whatever you all need me to do, I have four attorneys. They're going with us on Saturday. To assist legally, because we want to do a couple of things. Let the people know whatever legal issues you have, we are going to be here to help. I don't believe in coming to nobody's town and just blowing no smoke if we can't come in with some substance, and then we're going door to door. But Helen, you were saying 180 people were challenged.
Correct.
60.
We got 60 of them.
60
back
of them restored, and 120. We don't know what happened to them, roughly.
Well, we know they were removed, but we can get them back on if we can contact them. We haven't been able to contact them because we, you know, some don't have telephones,
right.
and some work out of the county because they don't have jobs.
Yeah,
there.
And a lot of people live out of the county. You have
to catch them, you know.
So we're going on Saturday. That's part of what this rally that Senator Fort really has pulled together. And I'm doing all I can to get. I'll be on the bus and just go door to door, pass out flyers, let the people know you don't have anything to be afraid of. We want you to register. Sparta is very important. Mr. Mayor, tell us about your town. Tell us about Sparta. And tell us your own story, because you were unelected after serving seven terms in 2015. You were in an election that they told you on election night that you had lost. But how is it that you're still the mayor? You lost an election, according to the election people, election board down there. But we're still calling you Mr. Mayor.
Yes, and I feel blessed and honored to still be called a mayor for the city of Sparta. That's my home. That's what I grew up at. My roots are there. I left for 5 years to go off to school. I came back. I've been in the public sector now, approaching 43 years. Near the end of my sixth term, which would have ended in December of 2015, that was election in November the 5th, I believe, of 2015, with the tactics that was used leading up to that election, starting about 6 months out, where there were those that had gathered and put together a plan to get me removed from office.
The Southern strategy, essentially.
Yeah, right, and they start taking people off the voters list through using the Board of Election. And strangely enough, most of those people that were being challenged or removed were people that everybody knew supported me. And technically, on November the 5th, at the end of the day, there was another person ruled the winner. And would be mayor of the city of Sparta,
and that man had a lot of ties. The local paper owner, y'all don't want to call it. What's his name?
His name is R. Allen Haywood.
R. Allen Haywood. So on November 5th, 2015, R. Allen Haywood was declared the new mayor. After this would have been going into your seventh term.
That's correct.
So after having been the mayor for seven terms, you were told tonight, we're sorry, Mayor Evans, you lost.
Right.
But you knew something was not right about that.
Yes. The election superintendent, a week or two before the election, received from a citizen, was sent a statement from a citizen that Mr. Haywood was a felon and that the record had not been cleared.
All right, put a pin in that. We're going to come back with that. We got to take a break. And two things, the Georgia Coalition for the People agenda said, look here, these people kicked off the roll. One is, Helen, some of them were just flat out scared, because unlike up here in Atlanta, sheriff stopped me, I'm going to call Ted Jackson and say, who is this behind me? I mean, what are they doing? Follow me or whatever. Down there, the sheriff is the law.
That's right.
They call
really
him
powerful.
The high sheriff.
That's right.
And the high sheriff down there happened to be a brother, though.
Of course.
He's black.
Of course.
Okay, but everybody that's your skin ain't your kin. You know. And so when we come back, we're gonna tell you the story of Sparta. 404-892-2703. Bumped into a lot of people who say they were from Sparta. Mm-hmm. I've been bumping to them since I've been talking about this, kind of all over the place. And some of them say they're going to meet us down there. If you got questions about this, because we want you to understand why this vote is so important. And a sister said, Jemita Orange said it's so important yesterday. She said, look here, if you don't think this vote that we have is so important, why are they trying everything to keep us from exercising it?
Exactly.
If your vote wasn't that important, why are they trying everything to keep you from exercising? So we're going to talk about how the mayor was unelected for one night. And the next day, the mayor said, look here, I'm from here. I'm born to fight. I'm not new. Something about this. Say like grandmama and them, you say, something got to be did about this. something got to be did about this. Because this is not right. When we come back, we're going to let the mayor tell you what actually happened. 404-892-2703. And why you need to get on this bus and go with me, Helen Butler, Senator Fort, a number of us who are going down on Saturday. We'll be back. It's Too Much Truth with Derek Bozeman on News and Talk 1380 WALK.
Too much truth.
Into your show, man, with no half of the knowledge that you've been giving out in your show before. And I just want to take my hat off, man. You had me laughing a while ago. It's just been a blessing listening to you.
With Derek Bozeman on News and Talk 1380 WALK.
We're having a real good time. And we don't have to leave in the morning. The whole day just you and I.
That's right.
And it don't have to get any better. It's perfect, you in my life. If you're cool, then I'm cool, then we're cool. We don't have to worry about no groceries. We can fill up a love alone.
All right, I got all my young folks in here from the station. They all love Helen Butler. They've been working so closely with her, been doing a lot of voter registration. And this is why we vote. I mean, you know,
that's
really,
right.
I know you say, Lord, well, you know, it's a 2-hour drive from Sparta to Atlanta. What has that got to do with me? And Dr. King said it best, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Because I'm clear on it. They practice this stuff in these small towns. Then
they bring it up here
to the big old city. If it worked down there, it's the same forces that want to keep you disenfranchised. You got to, Ms. Mayor, what is the racial demographic of Sparta, Georgia?
Sparta, probably 80 to 85% people of color.
80 to 85% people of 85%. Color. And we have a chairman of the commission down there who is a white female.
That's correct.
And she used to be state legislator.
Yes.
And and we have at least one white on the city council.
Yes.
And I don't even know how that's possible, 85% black city. But I, you know, anyway, let's talk about this. So Helen, we know, you know, the reason we're going on Saturday, we know there's about roughly 120 some people in a town like Sparta. That's pretty significant that we've been able to catch up with. To re-register to vote. And there may be some who, and because the sheriff coming to your house, pretty intimidating. Mr. Mayor, did you hear from any of your constituents saying, hey, Mr. Mayor, they coming over here asking me all kind of questions?
Yes, I did. Before the sheriff department started delivering the summons to come to the hearing, there were other people that had gone into the community. And that's a spying on people to see if people actually lived in the house that looked boarded up or the grass was grown. There were many people that live, they still keep their residence in Sparta, but their job takes them out of town. They vote in Sparta and Hancock County. They vote nowhere else. These people were challenged also, which they have a right to seek employment elsewhere and still maintain
certainly
their residence.
Yeah, because Sparta is a agricultural rural area, not a big industry. There's no major industry there.
Right. We lost all
no mill or nothing.
Right. We lost all the factories that sold pants and shirts and all.
Okay.
They went offshore. The wood yards closed down. Then we had a furniture factory that closed. So you had hundreds of people that lost their jobs, and majority of the people have to go out of town
and find work.
You know.
We're going to talk about that too. I can tell you when I met the mayor immediately, I liked the guy. I said, this is a salt of the earth brother. Met his wife. I said, these are real people. And some of us got some expertise in some areas to help beyond this. But what I'm most concerned about is getting people registered. So you get a call from somebody who said, look, this man here got a pass. He had been arrested before on felony charges. You didn't know that ahead of time. Were you aware of that?
The person that ran against me?
Yeah.
No, we had heard rumors of it, but we had also heard that all that had been cleared up.
Okay.
And when the election superintendent got this inquiry from a citizen, not me, but a citizen,
mm-hmm.
that the record had not been cleared, she called for a hearing. She asked the person to produce the paperwork that showed that he had been pardoned or
cleared. Yeah, because that's the only way you can clear a felony if the the governor is the only pardons and parole board and would person, have to grant a pardon for you.
And the person never produced it.
Okay.
So she, in turn, the day before the election, had set a hearing to seek information to see whether the announcement need to be made about it. And that person then hired a lawyer. The lawyer went to the chief judge. He signed an injunction keeping her from holding the hearing. And so the election went on. He was declared the winner that night. But then after that, I filed a petition before the court to ask the judge to rule him ineligible to hold office.
And talk about some of the lawyers, because it's important that we support freedom-fighting lawyers. Who did you hire? Who did you retain? Who helped you with that case?
Mr. Wayne Kendall was the lead lawyer. Then we had Mr. Jerry
Wilson.
Mm-hmm. From assisted. The former AC, Jerry from, used to be with the ACLU? That's Weber.
No, that's Jerry. No, this is Jerry Wilson.
Okay,
he's
Jerry
a
Wilson.
Great redistricting attorney as
great.
So, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And so,
he's here in Atlanta. And he definitely fights for civil rights and voting rights.
Well, let me tell you, we want to thank him. Y'all go do some business with him. So they go to court November 15, 2000, November, whatever the date was, election day, 2015, mm-hmm. you were declared the loser.
Right.
How long did it take you to be declared the winner?
It took
what happened? They eventually had a hearing and ruled him ineligible.
That's right.
But that wasn't it.
And he and his lawyer agreed that he was ineligible at that hearing.
I ain't going to ask y'all what he did. What did he do? Don't write it down on paper. What kind of felon was he? Was he issue of moral turpitude? What did he steal?
Yeah, it was a crime of moral turpitude.
Okay, all right.
But then when we went to court, in fact, he and his lawyer
just said, hey, look, man, y'all got me. I'm done with this.
Yeah. And he tried to explain why he felt that
he's still
there.
Oh, he said that he was a great friend of the Alabama governor that was dead. What was his name? Wallace, Governor Wallace. And that he thought Wallace had told him it was taken care of.
So this happened in another state, whatever the issue was.
Yes.
And he thought it had been taken care of by a man who'd been dead about at least 20 some years.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. So you have another election that was a third part on the race, on the ballot. You have to run against them, and you just basically beat the brakes off of that person.
Well, I won. I would put it that
way.
Okay,
all right.
I was blessed enough.
The mayor is very modest. 404-892-2703. But in the intervening, since then, there are a group of people who are either afraid or, got purged off of the rolls. And on Saturday, we're getting on the bus. It's going to leave from Atlanta Metropolitan State College. And we're going to leave at 8 o'clock, get on the bus, have a conversation. I'll be teaching. Centerford be on there. And then we're going looking for our people to re-register them. And let them know.
And there are people that are not registered.
And people who are not registered. And if you are one of them real soldiers, I ain't talking about the one who just called the radio station, because we got plenty of those. Who will get up early and put on some sneakers, go to Sparta under the direction of this mayor and Helen Butler, and you don't have to look. There ain't but 7 lines on the voter registration form. Mm-hmm. If you can carry a clipboard and walk, that's all you need. We're going to give you all of the other instructions. And so we need you on Saturday. You can hit me at db1380@gmail.com. We want to fill this bus up. I love to see an intergenerational group, young and old, young at heart, but you need to be able to walk now. We don't need you to take up a seat and you can't get around. The bus gonna be moving. We need you to get off the bus and knock on doors and greet our people. Look, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Dr. Brian, who's on the phone. He's been teaching, taught in Sparta for 30 years, part of the movement as well. 404-892-2703. What do you make of this? Those of you all listening, what do you make of this? And are you willing to go with me on Saturday morning? We leave at 8. We'll be back in Atlanta about 6, 5:30, 6 o'clock. We'll be back here. Can you go with me? Hit me at db1380@gmail.com or call me now and say, hey, look, I want to get on the bus. 404-892-2703. We'll be back. It's News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Too much truth.
Thank you for all that you do. I thank you for speaking out and speaking up against injustice in this nation. And God has anointed you to come against powers of darkness in high places.
It's Derek Bozeman on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
All right, welcome back to News and Talk 1380 WLK. We're talking about Sparta. We're getting on the bus. We are going to take a ride towards freedom on Saturday. We want these young people to go with us. If you're out in these streets and you're talking about how important it is to register and to vote, it's super important that you come down to Sparta on Saturday. We're going to leave 8 o'clock from Atlanta Metropolitan College. We'll be back before about 5 or 6 o'clock. We need some of y'all to get on the bus, and particularly young people. I'll be on there teaching. I'm jumping on the bus, too. And we want you to know why it's so important and why these towns are so important. Because when we begin to talk about rural Georgia, you know, we have to give you a real history lesson. Mm-hmm. We talked to, what is our judge down there? Judge Edith Ingram, mm-hmm. who was elected probate judge in 1968. And Judge Ingram said, sitting down talking with her, she said, as I... and just a regal, dignified lady. I got to get her mm-hmm. up here because I just wanted y'all to hear her story. She's elected a probate judge. I don't think we even have most people now. Probate judges deal with, you know, how your affairs are going to be set, you know, after you leave. They, you know, it's just a lot of money, a lot of influence. So she said, well, I took office, and my phone started ringing after I won the election. They said, look here, N-word, and when you walk up the stairs to your office, expect a bullet in your back. And that sister said that with just as, matter of fact, and Mr. Mayor, I think you were down there that spot at that time. Y'all had to actually organize. What did y'all call the little committee that kind of walked with her?
There was the Soul Band System Soul Brother Citizen Band Radio Club.
CB Radio Club.
That still is in existence.
And y'all get on the radio, Breaker 19. Look here. Walking in and we walking in with her.
They escorted her in and out and stood every guard day. At the steps to make sure that she was not harmed.
And they didn't just stand guard with no 23rd Psalms.
No, they
praise the Lord.
They were many of them were ex-military, so they knew what to do to take care of business.
Y'all see why I'm going to Sparta? I mean, you still got that spirit of resiliency there. But look, we got to take a break. Let me bring Dr. Brian in here. Dr. Brian, how are you?
Derek, I'm doing real good. You got my very good friend, William Evans, there. William Evans, the way back.
Yeah, take me off of that speakerphone, Doc.
You're not on the speakerphone.
Oh, okay. You're just down in the basement somewhere.
Yeah, I'm down in the basement.
Okay. All right, and Mr. Mayor's listening to you, and you've taught down there for 30 years, you said.
Well, I taught down there for 7, and I came to Atlanta, but I'm back and forth down there.
Okay,
now
okay.
Because my mother-in-law down there, so I'm down there about every week. Right. And he's very correct in what he's saying. Weedon has been a great man for Sparta. Weedon is a very good friend also. And Coach Derek, you and I, good friends belong to the same Lord, mm-hmm. St. James number 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we... we go way back because you and I be in church programs together.
Yes, sir.
Last time we was on a church program, we was over at Bishop Church over there, over there across town on the east side over there. He lost that church, by the way.
Ah.
Yeah, he lost that church. Wow. He went blind and he lost that church.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
On the corner cusp right there. But anyway, what's going on in Sparta, Derek? He is certainly right in what he just stated to you. And I've been a part of that. I got involved with Sparta movement when I first came to Sparta back in 1969. I came to Sparta in 69 and I got involved with the movement. I came down there as a classroom teacher. Then I taught music down there, and I was a high school band director at Sparta High School. But I always was involved with the people because my mentor down there, and he was also, William's mentor was Leroy Wiley. Mm. And we used to go all over the county, and William knows whatever that I can do to help down in Hancock County. I'm always available. And he knows that, and I support William 100%.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad that we have people now that can know about Hancock County. But one thing I want to tell you about Hancock County, Derek, they are not, you know, Jose, you say they don't like scary Negroes, mm-hmm. but they are not scary Negroes in Hancock County. I can just
tell you that. I can tell that too. When they told me about the CB Club, I told look at these my kind of people out here.
Yes, sir.
We are excited about going. So, Doc, thank you for checking in with us, okay?
Hey, man, no problem, man. No problem.
And come on down there and roll up with us on Saturday.
If I don't drive myself, I'll be there.
There
if
you
I
don't
go. Go on the bus, I'll be there.
Yeah, you drive because I may have to jump in the car with you coming back. I need to get back up here fast.
Okay, well, you take care, man, and I see y'all this weekend.
All right. Mr. Mayor, you got some of your folk calling in, you know?
Yes, William is a good friend. He's been part of the movement. He mentioned about Mr. Leroy S. Wiley, who was the first black elected as the clerk of Superior Court in Sparta, Georgia, Hancock County. And maybe in the state of Georgia.
Mm.
He's gone now to be with the good master, but he was a very courageous man, served as the emergency management director for years.
Wow.
Spent nights in the woods, saved several people's lives that had wandered away from the nursing home there with Alzheimer's. And he stayed in the woods until he found them and brought them back to safety.
I won't come back. We're going to give you a lot more history. Again, we told you about the first in the country's probate judge. And when she said, that's what she told me. I was sitting with her in church. She said, look, they told me if I walk up them steps and go into that office, even if she had one office, it's 1968. She said, we're going to put a bullet in your back. Mm-hmm. And that sister walked up those steps and took office and served for 30 some odd years. 38, I believe she told me. Look, when we come back, we have attorney Miley Davis in here in just about a little bit over an hour or so down at the Auburn Avenue Research Library. They're going to be talking about a very important issue. We had a young man to die, a young preteen, really, to die on the football field after being worked to exhaustion in the hot sun. You got your little son running around in the Pony League thinking he finna get to the NFL. He might be headed to the graveyard if you don't watch what is happening. And these coaches who are running them, drilling them all day like they are NFL players and college players, they need to come and learn something tonight. They need to come and get this information. And you as a parent need to come and learn something this evening. And we're going to talk to Attorney Davis real quick, and then we're going to jump right back to Sparta because I need you all to get on this bus on Saturday. 404-892-2703. We'll be back. It's News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK. He's the boldest, baddest man on talk radio.
Put your big boy pants on, walk up in here.
It's Derek Bozeman with Too Much Truth.
Take your kind of gentler radio. Well, tell it like it is, whether you like it or not.
Call us at 404-892-2703. On the voice of the community. News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Brown skin, you know I love your brown skin.
All right, welcome back to News and Talk 1380 WALK. Let me get some stuff away. I got a lot of tickets to give away. If you want to go to the Many Rivers Across Social Justice Music Festival, Arts Festival, be calling number 13. I got those for you, 404-892-2703. Call the number 14 if you want to go to Cedric the Entertainer and Eddie Griffin. If you want to go to the comedy Get Down, call the number 14. You can get those. I'll tell you what I'll do. Better yet, call the number 13. You can decide which one you want. And then whatever left, the call the number 14 have to take those, okay? So you either want to go to Many Rivers or the comedy show. And whatever call the number 13 don't want, call the number 14 you'll get. Attorney Davis, how you doing?
I'm doing great, brother.
Are you
doing
looking great. Very resplendent with your Noop outfit on, your red kind of like tie and your
you know, we had nice to little... keep it noopish up in here. I know my Kappa brothers are listening to Alpha Man.
You know what I'm saying? You're always on the cutting edge, and I'm going to have to have you back in a couple of days because you and I, Attorney Bodie and a couple others, are going to be traveling. To Haiti in a few days to monitor the presidential elections there. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. But tonight, you're having a very important topic.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Well, back in July, Johnny Talbert III was a 12-year-old who passed away had a heat stroke during conditioning, and he later passed away. Just disturbing. And as we began to research and try to figure out what happened, we were contacted by a fitness expert, Mike Craven, contacted us all the way from Virginia. He's been tracking these kinds of mm-hmm. what we're calling exertional heat stroke mm-hmm. deaths, mm-hmm. EHS. And so Mr. Craven reached out to us, and we were overwhelmed both by his passion about the subject matter and his information about how to train not only youth athletes, but how to train properly. He gave our office a seminar this afternoon. Mm-hmm. We're bringing him back to do some testing mm-hmm. and training just so that we can be engaged in preventative health care as a law firm. And so the information he had was just overwhelming and convincing that these deaths are absolutely 100% avoidable. And he has some very clear thoughts, information about it. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. And I just wanted to bring him over mm-hmm. just so the WAOK listeners could hear a little bit about some of his research, mm-hmm. some of the work that he's done, and the ways that we can avoid this. This just does not have to happen. And to see that father and mother mm-hmm. lose their only child mm-hmm. in this way disturbs the spirit, disturbs the soul.
Okay, tell us again what time, because we want people to stop. If you got your son, daughter in the car, you know, you need to just run on over to the yeah. Auburn Avenue Library and get this information, because knowing is powerful.
Absolutely.
What time? 6:30.
Auburn Avenue.
About an hour from there.
About an hour. Auburn Avenue Research Library mm-hmm. will be over there. Come in. It's, you know, been remodeled. It's beautiful.
Beautiful
Brother
place.
Morris Gardner, who is in fact himself a former NFL football player and played at the University mm-hmm. of Illinois with my good friend Mel Agee. And so he knows about these issues, but I don't think anyone knows it from Mr. Craven's perspective.
Mike, walk us through. I mean, again, exertional heat stroke. We think about it because we eventually just go straight to football. You know, I play a lot of football, but I'm thinking about young girls who play tennis outside. You know, there are a lot of outside people who work outside. I mean, talk about talk about your field and what you know and what you've learned and what you want people to understand about particularly this young man's death, that his family came here, and it was one of the toughest interviews I've ever had to do just to hear how devastating it is, because this is something probably was nowhere near on their radar as a possibility for how they would lose their son.
You're correct. You said knowledge is power. And so much today is about how we, not so much the evidence that can't be debated, but basically the practical application. So exertional heat stroke. Nobody can die of exertional heat stroke without causing more heat being produced than what their circulatory system can release. So mm-hmm. basically, whatever the heat tolerance is, it's associated with exercise tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we measure this, the gold standard of measuring cardiovascular efficiency mm-hmm. is called peak VO2. Now, mm-hmm. anybody listening, if you ask somebody, have you ever heard of it? It's been around since 1960.
All right.
Now, if it's a test that's as accurate in measurement as blood pressure, mm-hmm. and we can show which kids are low to moderate to high.
Certainly.
In the 6 years I've been testing, I've seen high school teams be between 20, which is poor for a 65-year-old man, to 60, which would be very adamant for a high-tempo football team. So if you got teams that are going to run a no-huddle, how many teams today are going up-tempo? Mm-hmm. You hear about it everywhere.
Certainly.
Well, if they're going to be doing high-intensity repeat power movements over and over and over and over, you're dependent on a circulatory system to be conditioned before you expose them to it.
Well, let me tell you this. I just did a full cardio workup last week with Dr. Charlie Rouse, one of the greatest cardiologists in the world. And so I know exactly, my test is in my car over the dashboard right now. And they walked me and they took my blood pressure while I was on the treadmill. They examined my heart while I was at resting position after 7 minutes of walking on the incline. And it's the most comprehensive examination. And I know children are not getting that.
So the point we want to try to bring out is that with everybody's involvement, parents' involvement, I mean, parents obviously today want the best for their children. Mm-hmm. We want the information that's available, and we want people to be unified. So in my experiences in the last 15 years, I've never experienced anything that Mr. Davis has done. What I've experienced is people that will sit long enough to hear it, and thank you very much, and we just keep going on with business the way business is.
Talk about, let's just get it, because I know y'all got to leave in just a second, but what kind of physical, I mean, we can talk about the prevention side, but the one thing about the heart, you can't see it, right? You need to know something about that child before they even think about playing the sports. Many children have been ruled out because they have enlarged hearts, where the heart is abnormal. They have an anomaly in the rhythm of the heart. What kind of sports physical, before a child even think about it, should a child get?
DB, let me tell you what's going on. Basically, the young people are being put out for conditioning, but this is pre-physical. So they go through conditioning. Then they get the physical before they play their first game. This is absolutely what's happening in park after park at the rec level football. And that's what is disturbing, is that they don't have a physical. What we had happen yesterday, which was a beautiful gathering, Senator Vincent Ford, State Representative Billy Mitchell, Representative-elect William Bodie, Carter Wilson, the athletic director at Decatur High School, we all gathered at Decatur YMCA. And what Mike Craven did was do a VO2 test of two athletes. One of them was my son, and one of them was Miss Helen Cummings, my sister from Nan and Power.
Dominique.
Mm-hmm. So he put Dominique on the treadmill, hooked him up, and now he can see what his peak VO2 is. Then you can train up the athlete over a period of time.
You know, these folks ain't, look, they ain't got that at these little clubs and at these little parks.
And we can make that happen, though. We can make it
so
happen.
So at the end of the day, you really want legislation or regulation to occur here.
Absolutely. That they are not thrown onto the field without the workup. And Mike can describe how you can get a child ready. Okay. To do that.
All right, look, we're going to take a quick break. We got to take a quick break, and then we're going to let you tell us what should, because here's the thing, as parents are listening, and we will talk about, we'll engage this conversation a lot more in the future. What do they need to ask for? Because there's some children out there now where parents ought to be taking them off the field and getting them this test. So we want to talk about that real quick when we come back. Then we got to get back to the mayor. Mayor's going to come all the way up here from Sparta.
That's right.
And we got to give him something to eat or something while he's up here. Mayor up here.
That's right. You're going to take him to chicken and waffles.
We're going to take Mayor somewhere before we get there. We'll come back because we do want you to get this information. Don't just put your baby out there. You know, my mama didn't know nothing about it. She didn't come. I don't think my mother came to none of my football games. She just couldn't take it. I told her, look here, mama, I issued a punishment.